I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And Jared, I don't know if you know this or not, but we might be getting a third co-host. We might be getting a third co-host.
Who is this co-host?
This person sucks so bad at dating that allegedly his ex-girlfriend filed a restraining order against him. And we know we don't like meddling in other people's business because, listen, we've got enough crap to talk about ourselves. But when a headline like this comes across our iPhones, whatever, we can't not talk about it. Especially like taking sucky dating to the next level here. So the day was Friday, September 11th, and we saw TMZ people, a bunch of other news outlets reported that Cassie allegedly filed for a restraining order against Colton. And we've talked about them in the past because obviously Colton was a bachelor. Cassie was his final pick. They dated for about a year and a half, but they broke up, I want to say, like in January. Start out on good terms, but then it kind of seemed to get a little rocky from there, and it's kind of continued to snowball into what we just talked about with this alleged reporting of a restraining order. So, I mean, we got to talk about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have to talk about it. I mean, I don't have too many thoughts about it. It's just, like, the first thing I think of is it's just sad. You just never want to see a situation come to this. I've met Colton a handful of times. He's always been very nice to me. I've met Cassie a handful of times. She's very much a sweetheart. It's just, yeah, I mean, I've had friends before that, you know, they just, and I'm not saying this is the situation because I don't know the situation, but I've had friends in the past that just take things too far, you know, and they do stupid stuff because they feel like their ex wants to get back with them or they're still in love with them and they just need to prove it. They need to prove their own worth, you know, so they'll take them back. Is that what happened between Colton and Cassie? I have zero idea. But now apparently there is a restraining order against him that she filed, and it's not allegedly. I think it's pretty much confirmed because it says according to court documents obtained by TMZ. So,
Let me ask you this: when you hear restraining order, where does your brain go? Like, why? Like, do you think it was something physical that happened? Do you think it was just too and much? Like he was infringing on her personal space. Like, what do you think?
I mean,
where does your mind go when you first hear the words restraining order?
Well, I mean, of course, Dean, I have no idea what the hell is going on between Cassie and Colton. And
I'm not asking about this specifically. I'm just saying just say anywhere, someone got a restraining order, person X got a restraining order against person Y. It's not Colton and Cassie. Does your brain immediately go somewhere? Because a lot of people, I think, would immediately assume that person Y got the restraining order because person X, you know, what became violent or something like that. Obviously, there's a million different reasons why.
Yeah, there's a million different reasons why someone gets a restraining order. I mean, I've heard of, like I said, people, like even friends in my past, like I know someone who had a restraining order against them. It's because they were convinced that their ex was still in love with them and they just needed to, you know, like prove like how much they were in love with them and then they'd want them back. Does that make sense? And so it came
well,
to
well so what did they do though?
Well, they just would like show up at their place or give them gifts or put notes on their cars or constantly call them. And it got to a point where it was a guy friend and she was like, listen, I don't want to get back together with you. It wasn't like, it was just overstepping his boundaries to a point where she was like, listen, you're going to force me to, if you can't stop contacting me, I will get a restraining order. And then he was like, well, I want to keep calling you. And I'm not sure if actually the restraining order, like if there ever was one or if there was just a threat of one, but you know, I mean, is that what happened with Cass and Colton? No idea. But you know, from certain articles I've read about, possibly, you know, text messages he sent, like being accusatory towards Cassie that she was seeing, her ex, and they broke up after January. Cause you said, you think they broke up in January, but they broke up well after that because they were still together when Colton had COVID. Cause he was staying at her parents' house, I believe. So they must have broke up like at some point in either March or April, if I remember correctly. But I mean, this is more of a question for you, I guess, when it pertains to this topic, because, you know, you're dating someone who is friends with Cassie, and I don't want, you know, any conversations divulged, if there have even been any, but I don't know what your thoughts are on this entire situation.
I mean, I think that anyone that sees this situation immediately empathizes or sympathizes with Cassie, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. The second I saw the headline, like, even my friends who don't even watch The Bachelor sent me these headlines, and I was like, yeah, that's crazy. I immediately sent it to Kayla, and I was like, this is crazy. Like, is Cassie okay? And I haven't heard back from her. I sent that like 30 minutes ago. So yeah, I mean, I hope that Cassie's okay. I think that's kind of immediately where everyone goes to, where it's like, because you mentioned earlier that you weren't sure if your friend threatened or actually followed through with the restraining order. I think there's a big difference between talking about filing a restraining order and then actually going through with the process of filing it. Like, that's like pretty extreme.
No, so there is. I think there 100% is. You're absolutely right.
I think that all of us are just trying to sympathize with Cassie and hope that everything's okay. Like you said, we don't know the terms, like what's going on, what happened exactly, but all we can really hope for is that Cassie, the person that filed the restraining order, is okay. And like, there's so many different forms of, I don't know, like infringing on someone's personal space, where it's like, through any different methods, like you said, too many phone calls, text messages showing up randomly, leaving notes, leaving gifts. So we don't know exactly what it is. I doubt we ever will really know exactly what it is, but I think we all kind of agree that Cassie hopefully is okay.
No, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Definitely, you know, just thinking about mostly Cassie. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you hope Cassie's okay, and whatever the reason is that she filed for this restraining order, hopefully she feels safe. It's just sad. It's really sad. Like I said to start the show, you never want to see a situation have, you know, just snowball into something awful like this. And now here we are, where apparently, well, not apparently, there is a restraining order against Colton from Cassie. And again, I just hope Cassie feels okay and feels safe. And
It's so crazy to me. It's like, how far does someone have to go for it to get to that level? And look, don't get me wrong, I've been like the scorned ex-boyfriend in the past, mm-hmm. where I thought that I could win my ex back by like sending her gifts and calling her. But eventually, like, I got the hint, right? And like, yeah. Granted, I was very young at the time. So how far does it have to go? How much further than that does it have to go for something like this to happen? Just it's crazy to think about. Maybe Cassie had a short fuse with stuff and she... jumped the gun, but like you said, there's no way of knowing at the time.
Yeah, it's all speculative right now.
Yeah,
you know, we're all just kind of like throwing stuff against the wall, and who knows? I see. I think that we will find out more information as time goes on, and you know, like Colton will have his camp speak out, and Cassie will have her camp speak out. You know, for the PR reasons of it. So it's again, the word I keep going back to is sad. I hope everyone is okay. I hope, like I said, Cassie is doing well. That's all I have to really say about the situation.
Yeah. Colton just continues to be very unimpressive, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, we don't know what the reasons are for the restraining order, but anytime, you know, it's disappointing. Yes, of course, that's a word that comes to mind as well.
It just seems like it's one thing after the other with them, but hope for the best. Like you said, we'll see.
You have some serious hate in your heart for Colton, huh?
There's no hate. It's like you said, it's disappointment. It's really what it is.
I mean, this is obviously very disappointing because you just, like you said, how did it get this far? You know, how did it get to the point where there was a restraining order against them? So,
yeah.
Sad, disappointing. There's a lot of words that come to mind when thinking about this. But again, most of all, I hope Cassie's doing okay. And I hope everybody's doing okay with the situation. And that's really it.
Yeah, but that sad news aside, our new potential co-host aside, we do have a great episode for you guys today. Jared's got some big news on the goalie front. We've got Dr. Viviana calling in and Dr. Ian calling in to share some of their COVID tips and tricks to stay healthy with us as well. So stay tuned for that.
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We got Mark, Easton. I think we have a full crew, Danielle, Becky, Good God. Everybody's in here today, which means it's going to be a great episode. We have a couple great guests coming up. We have Dr. Vivian Coles. We have Dr. Ian Smith. Also, a new What a Girl Wants is coming out this Thursday. It is hosted by Kendall Long, our very own Kendall Long, who's been on this podcast many times. She's very informative, sweet, knowledgeable, and I'm very curious to get an update about her current dating life right now. She's also co-hosting with her sister Kylie, her twin sister Kylie. So as Danielle said, they were the original Kylie and Kendall, because I think they're older. So definitely check that out. Comes out Thursday, What a Girl Wants, because I know you're tired of hearing my voice, at least. Probably not Dean's, because he's got a very sweet, soothing voice.
Actually, I would like to say that, you know, before we were recording this, you and Mark and Easton even were talking a little bit about football and how happy you are to have football back. And I just got to say, I'd like to announce to our Suck Army. Well, actually, before I do that,
Playing for the Broncos.
fun fact, before we get into that, apparently the first time you co-hosted this show, it was with Kendall as your co-host. So
yes,
it's kind
of
like a returning to your roots, which is always a fun thing. Anyways,
yeah, we're going back to OG.
As I was saying, football is back, which is great. And not that our listeners really care about that, about us being happy football is back, but I wanted to let them know that I'm honored because this season I finally get to play fantasy football with my very own Jared Haben and
That's
company.
Correct.
Yeah.
You've upgraded. You finally made it into the league.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened between last year and this year, but somehow I didn't get the invite last year, and somehow the invite was just miraculously extended to me.
Listen, blame Tanner. Tanner's the one who sent out all the invites. He was the one who organized this. I'm just throwing him under the bus. Blame Tanner.
You want to know what's so funny is, well, the second you guys added me to the group chat, you can like go back and see all the old messages, and I was just like bored or something, so I like went back and I like read like the genesis of the group chat, and like the fourth message down was like, should we invite Dean? Should Dean be part of the group? And like four people were like, no, he's never going to pay any attention to fantasy. And I was like, but I would. I promise I would. Just give me a chance.
By week four, you're done, bro. You're not going to be checking your lineup. You're going to have like Dalvin Cook down in the bench. It's just going to be a shit show. But it's going to be a great show because you're such a wonderful addition to the fantasy league.
Oh yeah, thanks so much. Anyways, I just wanted to announce that I'm very honored and graced to be part of the team, the league, whatever you want to call it. But
it will be fun. We have a lot of Bachelor alum because we have, so Matt James is in the league, who's the current Bachelor. Jason Tartick, you, me, Tanner, Nick, Wells. Who else is in this freaking thing? Tyler C. I'm playing Tyler C. Week one.
Yeah, I'm playing Jason, and I already got a touchdown out of David Johnson, so it's looking pretty good over here.
That's nice. Deshaun Watson sucked for me last night, so that's not a good start.
Yeah, not the best. But anyways, what else is going on in your life, man?
Nothing much. So we got a text from one of our producers earlier today that wanted to get our take on this Texas Tech story. Did you hear about this? Texas Tech girl posts Snapchat at crowded day party, quote, yes, I have COVID. So apparently this girl was at some sort of Texas Tech party. And I don't know if she was joking or not. I don't know if she was serious, but she said that she has COVID, which is quite insane. I mean, I know we're a dating podcast, but especially in today's world, I can't believe somebody would have the balls to go to a party knowingly having COVID and possibly spreading it or joking about it.
Right.
Did she get expelled?
If she hasn't yet, she definitely will. My take on this is just my take. Obviously, based off of no information, I bet you she was joking, but she should be expelled for even just joking about it like that. And I made a comment in that group text too, that I'm so grateful that I'm not in college during this time, because if I was 18 years old and drunk at a college party with Snapchat, I could see myself doing something just so stupid like this. You know what I mean? And this girl, because what happened, it was like Northeastern or something, 11 kids got expelled from that school because they were like all hanging out.
Well, we don't know if they got expelled yet. We know that they got dismissed for the rest of this semester. So if you guys haven't heard, so up in Northeastern, there was 11 kids that got together in a hotel room, you know, none of which had COVID, but you know, you can't group together in college right now. So anyway, they broke the rules and they just got together, 11 of them, in a hotel room. They got caught. And then the school has since dismissed them for the rest of the semester. And we don't know if they'll be invited back or not after this year. Plus, their tuition of $36,000 will not be refunded.
Dude, that's so crazy to me. I would lose it. I mean, granted, yes, they broke the rules. But again, they're freaking, they're children. They're 18, 19, well, not children, I guess, but they're...
I agree with you, man.
When I remember when I how I acted that age, it's like, I think, I don't know. Different times,
no,
obviously.
I know. I don't want this to be a political podcast either, but like, it's definitely, it's just so polarizing right now where it feels like you have to choose one side or the other, which I find ridiculous. I think that a lot of things in life, just like we talked about on the podcast many times within the dating world, it's in the gray area and so many different aspects of life. It's not black and white. And I think that's a good example. I mean, like, the example of the Texas Tech girl going to a party and joking that she has COVID, this is not funny. And she should be punished for it. How severe should the punishment be? Well, that's something we can talk about. But the Northeastern ones, again, they broke the rules. They should be punished for it. But the idea of dismissing them for the rest of the semester and then not refunding their $37,000 is that's insanity. But so we just wanted to talk about that for a second. And like we said, we have two great guests coming up. And then I also have some new dating, we can call it terms, trends, whatever you'd like. So we can probably do that in the third segment, I would imagine. But
I've also got some questions to ask about you and Ashley later on too.
Do you want to ask those now? Or you want to ask them later on?
Well, I guess it was basically just one question. I saw Ashley posted something on her Instagram that she's off the pill.
She is off the pill, which is terrifying.
And we haven't talked about this. So what does that mean exactly?
It means that we've quote unquote pulled the goalie. That's what okay. That's what my brother-in-law told my dad at my wedding, which was quite funny. He had a couple beers in him, and then my sister and her and him were trying to get pregnant, and he went up to my dad and was like, just to let you know, we pulled the goalie. My dad was like, I don't know what that means, and so it was a good moment. But yeah, Ashley is she's been very open about that aspect of her life. She's off the pill. We always said that we were going to start trying later in 2020, and that hasn't really changed. You know, both her and I want to be parents, and she's going to be 32 in March, and, you know... You're going to be 33 in March? Sorry, she just yelled from the other room. Holy shit. Yeah, we got to get going. Because we want to have multiple kids, knock on wood, if everything works out. Everybody's healthy, you know? I mean, you can never plan for things, but... So I think we're going to start trying, which is crazy because I don't know if anybody, like for me personally, of course, I don't feel ready to be a parent. It's like, oh my God, I'm a child. I'm a mess. I can barely take care of myself. I can't take care of another human being. But everybody I talk to and Mark can, you know, obviously chime in if he wants. But like, you're never fully ready to be a parent. I mean, maybe Mark felt differently when they were about to have kids and he was just like, oh yeah, I'm ready to be a dad. But like for me, it's just like so crazy, the idea of like me having a child and my parents being grandparents. It's exciting, but nerve-wracking.
It's funny. Everybody thinks of me as such a dad now, like I'm so dad, just through and through dad. But no, you're terrified. And I always tell people, if you're going to wait till you're ready, you'll never be ready. You just got to jump into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of what we're doing right now, where it's like, okay, you're going to stop taking your pill, and then if we fool around, you could get pregnant. It's just like, it's crazy to like have those conversations, and it's fun, though. It's great. It's super exciting. I've always wanted to be a father. I feel like a little bit of a dad to our dog, Lois. And that's been a pleasurable experience. Obviously having a dog and having a kid are very different, but,
you gotta start somewhere,
I guess, right? Baby steps.
Well, Jared, I want to talk to you more about this. Maybe not today, but I want to be constantly updated on, the baby talk and work that's been going on over there. But yeah. Before we bring our next guest, because we do have her in the waiting room and we're about to bring her in, we're going to take one quick break and then we'll jump right back into it. So we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Maybe we should retitle it to We Suck at Dating, seeing it's two co-hosts. But anyway, that's a conversation for a different day. We have a great guest that we teased earlier. She is on the line right now. You know her from Married at First Sight New Orleans, which airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Lifetime. It is Dr. Vivian Coles. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. I'll just correct you this once, but it's Viviana. It's not a big deal. You can just call me V. You can call me whatever. But just say.
I'm so sorry. No, it's spelt that way too. I am terrible with names. I'm so sorry. Dr. Viviana.
Not a big deal.
What did I say? Vivian?
Vivian. I get that a lot. I get Virginia. I get Viviana because I'm from Texas. So I get Viviana a lot. But Vivian is the most common.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. Dr. Coles, how are you?
There we go. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. You know, I love talking about relationships. I love talking about sex even more and how to do it, how not to do it. That sounds like a really fun topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in these times of COVID.
You want to know what's funny, too, is we were just talking about right before we brought you in from after the break, we were just talking about sex. Funny enough. And I don't know if Jared wants to continue to talk about it, but it just is a funny thing to mention that Jared and his wife have pulled the goalie, is how they put it, which means they're working towards having little Havens running around.
Are you experiencing any performance anxiety?
Ooh, good question.
Not yet, but again, everything is so early, you know, so... You know, maybe like, yeah, I don't know, because she just got off the pill, so it's not like, realistically, we're not going to get pregnant immediately. No anxiety. No performance issues from that, at least. No, I'm kidding.
Is performance and anxiety a regular thing that you see guys experiencing when they when the wife is off the pill?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you really think about what it is that you're trying to do and the changes that you're actively trying to make in your life, it can be a little overwhelming for sure. Not just for you, but for your partner and for your wife. And I think if y'all address that together, instead of it just being something that exists within your minds, it will allow for a lot more like flow and pleasure when you're trying. It could happen quickly. I have two kiddos, and I remember feeling very emotional when we made that active decision to pull the goalie. And I think it was really emotional for my husband as well, because all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I am. It's almost like when you apply for a loan for something, you're like, okay, yeah. But then when you actually get it and you have to like get that contract done or get whatever it is, you're like, this is real adulting. We're like actively trying to make something happen. Cause it sounds like you weren't going to wait to just see if it happens. You're actively trying. And I think it's good for y'all to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make in your life. You know, you talk about getting a loan, buying a house, having kids. I mean, those are the things that you think about your entire life or what most people try to achieve. And then here it is, you know? And so it's quite nerve wracking. But it's way worse for the female. I mean, like as a guy, you know, we're talking about me with performance anxiety or emotional state that I'm in. I mean, I think what helps me is I just think about Ashley in these times, because she's the one who has to carry the child. She's the one who has to go through 9-10 months of pregnancy. You know, and you know, I saw some of the Amy Schumer documentary, and it doesn't look pleasant. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's wonderful, it's lovely, but it's, you know, With Ashley, I think I'm more focused on like, you know, trying to just be there for her rather than my own state right now.
Well, and I think for a lot of people, it can feel, it definitely can feel like it's going to be something that is challenging and negative. But look, it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm a big proponent of positive thinking when it comes to this. Surround yourself with people who had pleasant pregnancies. Surround yourself with people who are willing to share positive birth stories, positive fertility stories, because a lot of what's going on with other people can absolutely affect your situation. You know, it's kind of like when you're getting married and the people around you are all talking about divorcing, you know, that's not going to play out really well. So there are lots of positive stories out there. If I were you, I would actively try to gravitate towards people who had pleasant pregnancies and didn't want to kill each other.
Yeah, I think Jade is one of those people. So Jade is a Bachelor alum that we're very close with, and she's like the most motherly figure you'll ever see in your entire life. Like and not everything is obviously roses, but like between her pregnancy and the way she raises her kids, you're like, wow, that is a loving, loving mother who like from the time that her baby was being formed in her belly to giving birth, like it's pretty inspirational to be her friend, because that makes me want to be a dad. But also she did give birth in a closet, so that's like terrifying, you know?
I'm aware of her story. I followed it closely. I think that the other thing though is just remember not to compare. You and Ashley are gonna have your own experiences. You're probably gonna feel differently than each other does, but then also from other people, and that's okay too. Like, it doesn't have to look like anybody else's, but certainly being positive versus being in the negative and like being pessimistic is probably gonna do much better.
Dr. Viviana, I've got a question for you. Sure. So obviously in order to have children, you have to have sex. And in the atmosphere that is COVID, there was this article that was published by Canada's top doctors that they suggest you wear a mask while having sex. And I just want to get your thoughts on this, because to me, it sounds incredibly bizarre. Why would you wear a mask to cover your mouth when you have other mucous membranes that are making contact with each other in more intimate areas of your body? What is that? What purpose is that serving? But what's your take on it?
So from what I read in the article, because I definitely read it as well, what they're trying to say is you are much more likely to, you know, have that transfer of the virus if you're, you know, sharing through your mouth, right? It doesn't happen as much with vaginal or seminal fluids. Now, that's great for people who are, you know, trying to procreate, and that's kind of what the purpose, not the sole purpose, but the purpose of that interaction is like, is mm-hmm. just to make sure that you're trying to inseminate your wife. Right. But for everyone else, that doesn't sound really exciting. That doesn't sound very fun. It actually sounds really like beyond clinical. It's not even pleasurable. So I'm just not sure that what they're trying to say is, hey, this will be a good alternative. What they're trying to say is, if you want to be safe and if you want to try to avoid getting or contracting or transferring any sort of coronavirus, this is best practices. We all know that most people do not practice best practices when it comes to just about anything in life. So while we want to encourage them to always do that, I just don't see it if you're trying to create some sort of pleasurable experience.
So you think it's like them kind of like setting the bar up all the way up high. That way everyone knows kind of what the bar is, even though they kind of expect no one really to, not no one, but most people to not really take it too seriously.
It's the same thing with social distancing. They rarely tell you don't sleep in the same bed as your partner. I mean, I haven't heard that once. They maybe have said that, but best practices would be that every single person in a household stay 6 feet apart at all times, because that's what, and you know what, we're so fortunate that we have people in healthcare who are willing to like go there and say, this is best practices. But then we have people who are more realistic who are going to say, okay, but chances are if I get COVID, my partner's going to get COVID, and we're going to live our daily life to try not to spread it to others, but amongst the two of us, it may not be possible to live a normal life-ish, not even ish, like that would be very odd if everybody just quarantined from each other throughout all of this. I think that would probably be more detrimental to the emotional state of the US and of the world. So yes, I think it's best practices. I just don't foresee that people are gonna stop kissing during sex. Now, if you don't like kissing during sex, this is the perfect excuse for you.
Who doesn't like kissing during sex? I want to meet that person.
And kiss
them. Hey, I bet you have a lot of listeners who are like, I could leave it. You'd be surprised.
If anybody is out there who doesn't like to kiss during sex, please DM us or email us and let us know why you don't like kissing during sex. And if you've ever had to tell someone, please don't kiss me while we're having sex together, because that sounds like a great story. Doctor, I know you have to leave in a couple minutes. Before you go, though, I do want to talk about Married at First Sight for a quick second, because my wife has got me into the show now. So now I watch.
Yes!
And
we got one.
It's very entertaining. It really is. So my question to you is about the concept of just being married at first sight. Do you agree with it? Do you think it's something that can work?
Yes and yes. As far as agreeing with it, this is not like, we're not reinventing the wheel. Arranged marriage has been around forever. Blind marriage is not nearly as common, but it is also historically present. So the idea that, and y'all can totally, I would assume at some point, can relate to the idea that you are done with dating. You just want to find the one and move on with life and reach all those milestones that you find important to you. And you're sick of meeting somebody and spending months, tons of money, tons of energy, like all of that on something that is just going to flatline anyway. And you know it, and you know it's coming, but you do it again and again because you don't want to give up on love. Well, what we have found is that participants who come and apply and hear about us and all that is that they're done with it. They're like, look, I don't want to spend the next 10 years of my life getting cheated on, getting lied to, you know, and just ending up in the same place that I am today. So I think it absolutely makes sense that people would want to do this if they trust that the experts want them to have love, then they do so much better. But it's the people who come in who are really weary of the process, who don't trust production, which, you know, Jared, like we're in such good company when it comes to looking for love with all of this. And those people tend to do well. And we have amazing success stories. Deanna and Greg from my first season in Charlotte just announced that they're pregnant with their first. Like, you know, people are really doing things together and growing marriages that they can be proud of through our show.
Yeah, you guys have a pretty good success rate, which is pretty awesome. And I've been reading this book called The Happiness Hypothesis, which actually kind of talks a little bit about something along the lines of arranged marriages, which is you have to make the conscious decision that you're ready to be married before you can, before finding the person that you're going to marry, if that makes sense. Like a lot of people say they find the person and then want to get married, where in this book it's making their argument that you should be ready for marriage and then meet the person.
And that's exactly what we're always hoping for, is to find people who are like, no, I know that I have the skill set. I know that I'm ready to be married. Now, nobody really knows exactly what that means until you're in it. But if you at least feel like all it takes is give me somebody that I can work with, that I can communicate with, that I can respect, that I can even learn to admire, then an amazing marriage can come from it, especially because you've got help. Like there's three of us experts. We're there for you. We've got all sorts of support for you. And if your families are into it, then you've got support way beyond this. We offer counseling. We offer counseling during, before, after, all that. Like there's definitely support for these couples. So I wish we had people who were 100% committed to marriage, because then that would make our lives so much easier.
It would make all our lives easier, really. Well, Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Everybody listening, please go check out Married at First Sight New Orleans, which airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Lifetime. As someone who watches the show now, I can tell you it's good entertainment. And it's season 11. So, I mean, if it's 11 seasons in, you know it's good. Dr. Viviana Coles, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have yet another great guest who's on the line with us right now. He is the host of the 13th season of the Emmy Award-winning TV series, The Doctors. He also has a new book that is coming out October 1st called The Unspoken. It is Dr. Ian Smith. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
No, of course. So, Doctor, you have this new book coming out, The Unspoken. You also have written the New York Times best-selling book, Shred, The Revolutionary Diet, and Super Shred, The Big Results Diet. So tell us what you're all about and what you are a doctor of.
Yeah, so I am, my training is in rehab, physical rehab, actually. So, for example, someone sprains a knee or twists an ankle, that's kind of my specialty. But mostly my career has been with diet. And nutrition. So most of my nonfiction books are all about diet, shred, clean and lean, the clean 20, fat smash, you name it. And I also have the other side of me, which is my creative side, which is fiction. So I write fiction. So as you've mentioned, my new book is called The Unspoken. Here it is right here. The Unspoken, right? And so I really love mysteries. I love fiction. I love creating great stories. And, you know, people tend to pigeonhole others into like little boxes. You know, you're a doctor, so you should just care about science and, you know, anatomy and those things. And for me, you know, I care about all kinds of things. I care about art. I love music. I write fiction. So I'm just kind of, I try to squeeze the most out of life, man. I try to do whatever I'm passionate about. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes, you know, more often I win, I succeed, but I'm okay with failing too.
Yeah, you are a very talented man. So like you said, you are a doctor. You graduated from Harvard College. And you received a master's in science education from Teachers College of Columbia University. I'm just like pretty much your hype man at this point. And you're in nutrition. And like you said, you're also a fiction writer. And it seems like those things just don't go hand to hand, but it's so cool that you do all of them. What got you into writing fiction?
You know, honestly, when I was a freshman, I was home for the summer. And my aunt, this is a long time ago, I'm old, but this is a long time ago. John Grisham wrote this book called The Firm. And it was before it became famous, before Tom Cruise did the movie. No one was talking about this book. But my aunt, who was a voracious reader, said to me, hey, you got to read this book. It's called The Firm. So I come from a little small town in Connecticut. So I went to this little used bookstore, bought this little paperback called The Firm. And man, I'm telling you, I was so engrossed with that book that I was like driving. I still can feel it. I was driving down my little street to my small town, and I'd have the book next to me. And when I got to a red light, I tried to get half a page in, It was just, I was just so engaged with it. And so I said to myself when I finished, and I had been like, I'd laughed, I'd almost cried, my heart was racing. I just said, one day I hope I could write a book that has that many turns and twists that I keep someone staying up late at night. And so I started writing fiction for myself back then. And finally, I started publishing it.
The Firm. I just added The Firm to my list of books to read. It sounds, I even just Googled it. I put it in my Amazon cart and everything. So I'm pumped.
Dean, have you ever heard of the movie?
I've never heard of the movie, no.
What? It's awesome. It's Cruise. Like when he was like, I mean, he still is obviously Tom Cruise, but this was like first Mission Impossible after Top Gun, right before Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, like dominating the world.
Yes.
I'll add that to my list of movies to watch as well.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. This is the one instance where I think Hollywood got it right. Actually, the book and the movie work together. Like usually like the book is something, the movie is something way off. This actually was pretty darn close. I liked both the book and the movie.
Oh, it's the best.
Dr. Ian Smith, let me ask you a question. So this book, The Unspoken, is this fiction or nonfiction?
Very fiction. It's about, I'll give you real fast the synopsis. So basically, it's a private investigator in Chicago who used to be a detective for the Chicago Police Department who resigns because he wouldn't participate in a cover-up. There was a bad shooting, as cops call it. It was a bad shooting. The department tries to hide it. He said, no way. He quits. He gets a settlement, and then he becomes a PI. So he takes very select cases in around all of Chicago, the rich north side all the way down to the hood on the south side. And he's a cool dude. His name is Ash Kane. He's tough. He is handsome. He's a golf addict. He loves classic cars, and he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's very sarcastic.
All right, now let me ask you this. Let's say they're making a major motion picture of The Unspoken. Who's playing Ash?
Jeez. Well, Idris Elba would be great as Ash.
Ooh, I love Idris Elba.
Idris is just the man.
He's the man. He'd be great. But also, there's a guy named Kendrick Sampson who someone brought up to me, who I looked at some of his stuff. He's an activist. He'd be really good. Kendrick Sampson. Those are my two guys who, right off the top, I would think they could do the role real justice.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love Idris Elba. I just watched what the hell is the movie about the gambling, the backroom poker games. Molly's Game.
Yes.
Oh, dude, Idris is awesome in that.
Was that a good movie or what?
Oh my God, it's so good. Well, I'm a big Aaron Sorkin fan, and Aaron Sorkin, it was his directorial debut for that movie, and he also wrote it, and obviously. And yeah, I love it. And Idris is just awesome. He needs to be the new James Bond, because I think Daniel Craig is done after the new James Bond movie comes out in November, and Idris just needs to be 007.
I think they are.
All right, well, that'll be cool too, obviously, depending on the casting. Anyway, we don't have to talk about that because we are a dating podcast. But I do want to talk about, because of the current world we're living in, you obviously have a background in nutrition, sports rehabbing. I actually just went to the TB12 clinic in Foxborough, humble brag, because Tom Brady's my favorite athlete of all time, and his whole thing is sports rehabbing up there, and it was a cool facility. But I want you to talk about how important it is, specifically in the world we're living in right now, to live a healthy lifestyle, an active lifestyle, and eating the right things.
You know, it's unbelievable. So my whole career has been advocating that people eat better, move better, not perfectly, by the way, because I eat everything. My family will tell you, I eat ribs and pizza and burgers and fries like everybody else. But it's about what you do 70% of the time. Like, I will never eat 3 days in a row of burgers and fries. I mean, it just doesn't happen, you know? So I incorporate what I don't call them cheat meals. I incorporate fun foods, cupcakes, cookies, everything. But I do it in a way where it's balanced. And I think that people need to understand that it's not hard to eat more fish, to eat more vegetables, to steam them. And then also, if you want to have some ribs or some wings, it's okay. But and you don't feel like, geez, every day I'm stuffing myself with all this processed food, you know? So that's number one. Number two is, you know, when you talk about COVID and what we're in right now, I mean, it's really about the immune system. And so many people have lowered immune systems because they simply have not been taking care of their bodies. And so you can boost your immune system through exercise. You can do it with immune boosting foods that you eat. So I just encourage people, like, listen, this is a perfect time to take your body seriously and, you know, tune it up, man. I mean, because COVID hits all of us, by the way. It hits us differently, but look at The Rock, man. I did a story for Entertainment Tonight and we were focused on The Rock. He, in his video, he was like, man, COVID took me out. And here's a guy who's like one of the fittest guys in the world. So I just think people need to just, you know, eat a little better, move a little better, and just be prepared. That's all.
We've talked about this on this podcast quite a bit over the past few months. But so I broke my leg in December and was essentially bedridden for like 2 to 3 months. And then COVID hit in what, March and mostly in April as well. So it's kind of like a double whammy where I was like not moving around, sitting on my butt a lot, and then COVID hit, and then I just started eating poorly and my body was just getting like softer and soft. And it's still like, honestly, it's pretty bad, but I've regained some of my, I guess, like athletic ability. But yeah, there was a long time there for like a good 3 months where I was like looking at myself in the mirror. And like, I wouldn't let my girlfriend like see me like with my shirt off because I was like so ashamed of myself. And then I like went out and bought these dumbbells, these free weights. And I was like, I'm going to use this time to like transform myself and get back to how I used to be. Use the weights twice. And I haven't really picked them up ever since. But I agree with you. Everyone's like looking at COVID and this quarantine time to really like focus and work on themselves. But it's a lot easier said than done. So I think that's kind of the biggest barrier to entry is people just putting action to the words.
Yeah, you know, I got lucky because I actually, before COVID hit, I decided that I live in Chicago, and winters are real tough sometimes, right? And so I said, you know what? I want to put some stuff in my house. So like when it's 5 degrees outside, I don't want to go to the gym. I can just go downstairs and get a good little workout. So I really loaded up. I got a bench press. I got all kinds of other benches. I got dumbbells from 15 pounds up to 75 pounds. I got I got like a full thing. And then COVID hits. And so everyone's like, you know, like you just said, like they're not working out. They're getting soft. Meanwhile, I'm getting ripped. I'm lifting a lot of weight. Yeah. You know, anyway. So, but now gyms are opening back up a little bit. So, but there's still great workouts you can do at home. I tell people all the time, I'll give you a 15-minute workout that'll, you know, blow you away.
Well, as a medical professional, with gyms opening up again, do you encourage people to go to gyms, or do you still think it's time to kind of like carry on and tread lightly with it? Or what do you suggest people do moving forward?
I think that if you go to a gym where it's a private gym, which means that it's not just anyone coming in and 50 people coming in and out and using machines. Listen, think about it. These big box gyms, there's no way they can sanitize all the dumbbells, all the machines. And then you say to the customers, well, you guys do it after you get off and someone else before they get on. But, you know, you can't rely on people to do the right thing. And so my personal opinion is that's probably too early for big box gyms. I think smaller gyms that have very limited number of people and a set schedule, I think that works. But, you know, the country's been very impatient. And, you know, this is a virus, man. This is not political. This is a medical scientific thing. It's a virus. And a virus wants a host. And our bodies are hosts. It doesn't care if you are Republican, Democrat, rich, poor, black, white. It doesn't care. You're a host. And so I think that I like anyone else. I want to go back to some kind of normal. Don't get me wrong. But we got to sit out a little longer and let this thing die down. And people are just being impatient. And let me just say one more thing. I don't want to be preachy, but the more impatient people are and the faster and more prematurely we open things up, the longer it's going to be here, because we can't suffocate this thing, because there's a hot spot here, hot spot there. College is opening up. 300 cases at one college in the first week. Well, guess what? The college, that affects people 500,000 miles away, because it's a big network. We're like a spider web of people. And this person saw that person. It's just, anyway, don't get me going.
We like it. We want you to keep going.
I think everybody could really vent in with all their different perspectives about what's happening in the world, you know? So, please, we love it. Do you have any advice for people listening right now that are trying to get back into working out? Because I find that's the most difficult aspect is starting out. Because once you start getting into the routine of things, at least for me personally, it just becomes a daily a part of your daily routine. But for people listening out there that like are out of shape and they have difficult time running and, you know, their knees are hurting and they're always sore, what is something that they can do to start like getting back into the routine of working out every day?
You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're trying to get back is they try to do too much too fast. I tell people, do just a little bit. Week one, 3 days a week, just do something. So don't go try to run or don't go try to walk 5 miles. Walk a half a mile. That's it. Walk for 7 minutes. That's it. Come on home. Even if you think you can do more, and you probably can, don't do it. Allow yourself to build up so that you're not taking on too much. And I think what people do is, you know, they're like, that's it. I'm going to start today. I'm going to go out and I'm going to walk 5 miles today. Okay, they do it and they're sucking wind. They're sore the next 2 days. Then they're like, it's too much. So they throw their hands up like, I'm not going to do it, because they try to do too much too fast. So my advice to people is think about where you want to be 5 months from now and then work that down to where you are now and form a real plan. Okay, week one, I want to be able to do this. Week two, week three, week four. And that's how you do it. You gotta be structured. I think people are too unstructured. Oh, I'll do this today. I'll do that tomorrow. And it just doesn't work. You're like flailing. You know, you're going around. You have no real direction and you can't build your momentum.
That's 1000% me. I feel like you just described me to a T. I'm very unstructured. I'll even go to the gym, show up and be like, well, what should I do today? Whereas I probably should plan before I go what I'm going to be doing for that entire week, month, or even the year. But yeah, that's definitely my big Achilles heel.
Yeah, but your guns are looking good, man.
Oh, yeah. It's because the pillow is pushed up against it. I'm trying to impress you. I'm trying to make myself look good.
As you guys know this, when you cross your arms, like I put my fist behind my biceps. So it's like, oh, yeah, they look bigger than they actually are.
Yep.
Yeah. Too bad. Like everybody's listening on a podcast right now and can't see what we're doing. But just imagine, like, you know, you flex and you put your hands behind your biceps, really push them
out. For the listeners listening right now, Jared's arms look very buff.
They're not that buff. I've been trying to work out, man. I've been getting to it. I bought a kettlebell. I've been doing some stuff, doing a lot of running, more running. I've been trying to get a little bit faster, but that's neither here nor there.
Were you now, in Doctor, Boston?
No. So I live in Los Angeles now, but I'm originally from Warwick, Rhode Island. So just north of you.
Yeah. I like that. I'm a New Englander. You know, I'm from New England. So.
Yeah, Connecticut.
Yeah. I just want to say real fast that people who are trying, you mentioned what should people do. On my Instagram page, I have all kinds of little workouts that people can download for free. So my Instagram is at Dr. Ian Smith. Spell the doctor out, I-A-N Smith. And please go to the one with the check mark, because all of a sudden now all these freaking imposters have like created these fake pages and it's not me.
No.
So, you know, you'll see me. There's a blue check mark.
Don't follow the person with two followers, okay?
That's it. But listen, let me tell you something, guys. People will send me DMs all the time, and they're like, I just gave you my phone number. Was that you? I was like,
oh, no.
Come on. And I look at the page. It's got like 5 followers. Why would you think that was me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
not
the most popular guy, but I'm better than that.
Oh, people just don't understand social media. Oh, no. Don't give your phone number out ever.
Hey, and Doc, you're piping it 300 yards down the middle of the fairway, too, man. I got to get some golf tips from you, too, it looks like.
Dude, let me tell you something. Can I tell you? That was so amazing. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to me. Sorry to get distracted with golf, but because I can go all day. But let me tell you something. I put a golf swing on my page. This is why I love IG and social media. And some guy from London, a professional golfer in London, sent me a DM and said, Dr. Ian, I'm really excited that you love golf and blah, blah, blah. He's like, but dude, you're not getting enough turn on your backswing. And I'm like, what? So we started like exchanging messages, right? The guy sends me a video. I'm not kidding you. He sends me a video. I go to the range. I practice literally within 2 weeks. My drive went 20 yards longer. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't realize it. But there you go. There's social media for you.
You know what's so funny about this golf talk is that I'm not joking. My dad sent me a text message 35 minutes ago. It said, just watched a pro golfer video on where to aim. When the ball is above your feet, aim a little right. And if the ball is below your feet, aim a little left. Remember that conversation you and I had and I thought I was right? Like, guys in golf, I love it. I love it. I could talk
love
all day.
It. Oh, I love
the best.
It.
But Doctor, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us on Help I Suck at Dating. Thank you for bringing all your wisdom and information. We really appreciate it. Everybody listening out there, obviously you can see Dr. Ian Smith on The Doctors, but please pick up a new copy of his book, The Unspoken, which is a fiction novel about Ash Kane, which is like the most badass name ever also. Comes out October 1st. Get it, I'm assuming everywhere, Amazon, anywhere you can pick up books.
Yeah, mostly go to Amazon.com and check it out. And Ash Kane has his own page. It's called I Am Ash Kane. So check out his page.
And then consider the start for the proposal, whatever you want to call it, to get Idris Elba to play Ash Kane when this book gets turned into a movie. It started here on Help I Suck at Dating.
There you go. Hey, guys, let's do it again sometime. Enjoy talking to you guys.
Yeah, us too, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, take care. Be safe.
Jared, we had a couple great guests on this week on the podcast, but no podcast is truly complete without your dating terms. So give us at least one, maybe a couple more, and hopefully Mark and Easton can pop in and help us figure out what they mean.
Yeah, we had a good time last week trying to guess the dating terms, including my favorite answer of all time from Easton, which was monkeying. That was just a good one. All right, so let's start for the first one here. So this is on popsugar.com. It's called 8 New Dating Terms You Need to Know About Going Into 2020. So we'll see if we can just get a few of these. So the first one is called Kanye'd. What do you think being Kanye'd means? I figured we'd start off with a good one.
I have a
guess.
Well,
I got to go back a few months, right? Because this is going into 2020, so we can't say it's something about,
I'm trying to think of what it could be, too. I think what being Kanye'd means is when you start dating someone and then they become a completely different person after having started dating them.
Okay.
I think being Kanye'd means your partner is about to climax, but then you interrupt them to give a weird speech. He says, I'm going to let you finish, but...
I'm gonna let you.
Beyonce had the best.
Beyonce
video.
Had the best album of all time. And you're like, why are you talking about Beyonce? We're literally in the middle of intercourse right now.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah,
Kanye is just an ego trip. A guy who's just a complete ego trip and never wants to hear a word about you or your life.
Wow, Mark, nicely done. Have you ever been on a date where the other person talked relentlessly about themselves the entire time?
No.
If so, you got Kanye'd. Apparently, plenty of fish. Plenty of Fish reports that 45% of singles have experienced one-sided conversations like this on dates, a.k.a. Kanye'd. All right, next dating term. Obviously, this is very 2020. What does white clawing mean? White clawing.
I'm going to go last because I feel like you guys have such good answers all the time, and I need to think about something, something good and clever.
Somebody who always wants to be super trendy all the time. Whatever the hot thing is, that's what they are into until it's not, and then they're not.
Easton, any guesses?
Mine was similar. Mine was something that is needlessly confusing and probably not all that satisfying.
Dean, any guesses?
My guess is going to be when you're just like everybody else, but for some reason people think you're better, but you're not.
You guys were all pretty close. Mark's definitely the closest on this one because it talks about all the hype surrounding White Claws right now. So Plenty of Fish says White Clawing is the act of staying with someone you find basic and boring just because you find them attractive. Mm. Interesting. And 42% of people surveyed said they've known someone who has been White Clawing. White Clawing. So pretty much it's lots of people that are hopping onto the trend because it's popular. So like you stay with someone because you find them basic and boring, just because you find them attractive. Similar to like people think that White Claws are wildly overrated, but you keep drinking them because everybody else is drinking them. All right. This one's interesting. Dial toning. What do you guys think dial toning is?
Well, what is a dial tone, first and foremost?
That would be a good question. Wait, are you seriously asking?
Isn't that when you used to pick up the phone before cell phones and it would be like the der, and then you would press the
button? How old does that make you guys feel? Because it makes me feel really old.
That's the dial tone, right?
You don't remember dial tone, bro?
I remember it. I'm asking for a little bit more of a clarity
context
on it. Context.
But yeah, you're right. I'll say it's like ghosting. It's like, hanging up on somebody. They end up hearing a dial tone on the other end of the phone after you hang up on them. And I'm going to say it's like that. It's like a ghosting where everything's going fine. And then suddenly they cut it off and you never hear from them again.
To get a bit more specific, I think it's like leaving someone on red, but you know for a fact they are gone. Like they are not, it's not just on red. Like they've deleted the conversation. Like you send something to them and they go, like, no, thank you. And it's like, oh, if I send another text, it's not even going to reach them. Like, they've hung up.
Got it.
Well, and see, this is where my question comes into play, is because a dial tone is at the beginning of a phone call, not at the end. You guys are thinking of the dropped calls tone.
We know more about phones than you do, young man.
I will say, though,
plead the fifth and not give an answer on this one.
Well, Dean, that answer, that was pretty good because dial toning...
Let me finish then. In my opinion, a dial toning would be when you have so many options, you don't know where to go because when you pick up a phone, there's so many buttons you can press, and that's the dial tone.
The paralysis of choice.
You should have quit while you were ahead,
dang
my
it,
friend.
Dang it.
Dial toning, so it says, over the last year or two, ghosting obviously has completely blew up on the dating scene. Dial toning is similar to ghosting, but involves ignoring the other person before the relationship ever even begins, which is, Dean, what you were talking about. The dial tone comes at the beginning of a phone call. When you dial tone someone, you give them your phone number, but you never reply. So that's dial toning. So pretty much like ghosting before the relationship ever begins, which I think a lot of people can resonate with, especially on dating apps, because how many stories have you guys heard where like somebody's talking on a dating app, you exchange phone numbers, and then you never hear from the person again? That's dial toning.
I've definitely dial toned before. I'm guilty of dial toning.
Well, on popsugar.com, it says 60% of singles have said they've experienced this. That's crazy.
Yeah, I guess I'm in the majority on that one. Well, Jared, as always, thanks for the dating terms. Thanks, Easton and Mark,
anytime,
for your just unbelievably uncanny, witty responses and understanding of these trending dating terms. Big thank you, of course, to Dr. Viviana for sharing her knowledge with us and Dr. Ian Smith. Be sure to check both of them out on Instagram. And Dr. Viviana is on Married at First Sight on Lifetime at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. And Dr. Ian Smith just dropped his new book October 1st. So I guess not yet, but coming up.
The Unspoken.
Sounds pretty cool.
With Ash Kane. That's pretty
awesome.
Jared,
is there anything else you want to touch on before we say see you later?
No, I'm good with touching today.
You're good with touching?
Yeah. No more touches for me. Thanks everybody for joining us on this wonderful episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Make sure you guys not only tune in next week, but also tune in Thursday for What a Girl Wants with the original, the OG, Kendall and Kylie Long. But until then, we'll talk to you next week, where hopefully we all suck just a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.